FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Joe.
It is another edition of the Sports Hangover this Thursday. We're live at Vinny's, and oh, is there plenty to talk about. Saints got one practice in, another one today. Quarterback Drew Brees on if there's any more added pressure being the top seed.
If you approach every game during the season like it's the most important game of the season, then is this game any different? Not for me.
Pelicans on the road at Brooklyn. What could possibly go wrong when Anthony Davis sets a career and franchise record in rebounds? You guessed it. They lose.
If you approach every game during the
Head coach Alvin Gentry.
Got to be able to come up with stops. I thought our on-ball defense was not very good tonight from anyone, really. And, there was too much penetration to the basket and too much driving kicks for threes when we had to pull our defense in, and I think that was our downfall right there.
Watch the post-game show. Nancy Lieberman, we are efforting getting the coach on, the Hall of Famer, because that was one of those post-game shows. He just sat back, relaxed, turned up the volume, went, yep. Uh-huh. She sees it. I mean, just every sentence. I mean, that was one of those. And we always talk to Aaron Hartigan, the host for Fox Sports New Orleans, the post-game show. And we're always like, yep, that's one of those. If you're Aaron, you just sit back. Just here's the next question. Just keep going. I just need to know when we go to break, because that was, I don't even know what to say. Seriously, I don't know what to say as the Pels fall on the road in Brooklyn, 126-121. The starters did their job. Look, we're going to get into this. 800-998-1003 is we're live at Vinny's. 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie. 18th and Ridgelake, if you want to know the exact corner where the bar is located. Yes, I said bar, but... delicious food. Kitchen stays open to 4 a.m. each and every day. Happy hour each and every day, 3 to 7. That's including the weekends, Saturday and Sunday as well. And on Thursdays is the steak special. 8-ounce sirloin, right? You have yourself a side salad, loaded baked potato. Sarah tells me it's 2 pounds, and it's solid. So come on by and try it. The wings are delicious. The wraps are probably you can take home. And they kind of that big as well. So you got a lot of different stuff. And joining the intern for a second straight Thursday, you're going chicken Caesar salad. And that's a large chicken Caesar salad. And it smells delicious. Grilled chicken laid on top of that salad. So anyway, come on by, have a little fun. And don't forget, obviously on the weekends, as I said, that happy hour is 3 to 7. Try the new Whiskey Wednesdays as well. $10 Wild Turkey Bourbon Flights. Trivia starts at 7:30 as well. We'll go over all of that and more when we get Sarah to get on over here in a little bit and talk about what's going on with her fun self as always. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA. Also, don't forget, TuneIn Radio is a way to catch us on and stream us if you cannot be by a radio in your car or what have you at work. Walk around. All right, so questions of the day. How do I phrase this, right? Because when you take a look at what happened last night, they lose to Brooklyn and continue the road woes. They're now 4-16 on the road, the Pelicans. Anthony Davis, following the loss, said that he's frustrated. Finally we got I'm frustrated. Like, I've been calling, where's the frustration? Where's the sense of urgency? Where's the ticked offness? He said he's frustrated along with everyone else, coaching, players, front office, everyone's frustrated. So I'm asking y'all as Pels fans, should change happen? Do you want change, or do you go the patient route, the patience route, in terms of this, right? Who comes in right now at what position? Coach, general manager, and changes. Like, what's the change? Is it trying to get somebody that gets them to play hard? I'm going to play Alvin Gentry here. Alvin Gentry said they played hard. I agree with him in the last 3 minutes of the fourth quarter. I agree with him in the fourth quarter. I mean, you saw the Pels team and their capability in the fourth quarter. To start the game? You got down by 24. You're down 20 points. 8 minutes in the second quarter. He's calling timeouts. He went through all those timeouts in the first half. So I don't get it. But I don't know. What is the answer? What do you do? Do you go the patience route in terms of you wait for everyone to be healthy? You're seeing what Elfrid Payton can do for this team. 25 points in 34 minutes of action, 7 assists, 10 of 15 from the floor. Waiting on Nico to get back. AD, 34 and 26. The 26 rebounds, a career and franchise high. 26 boards. Julius Randle, 21. Holiday, 20. Etuan Moore, 16. The bench? Well, Darius Miller put in 3 in 29 minutes of action, and Senior Frazier, 2. Solomon Hill, 0. Frank Jackson, 0. Ian Clark, 0. The Brooklyn bench, 55 points. Brooklyn, 55-5, outscored the Pelicans bench-wise. 55-5. The Brooklyn bench apparently is that much deeper than the Pelicans. That's why I'm asking you. I mean, is that an indictment as big of any? Right? Now, I'm going to play coach here, you know, and you know, this is the typical response, you know, hey, they played good, they shot well. I'm tired of hearing that. Aren't you a team that says you want to take the next step? Teams that are that believe their second round are better in the postseason. You know what I would like to hear after games? We made their shots too easy, rather than, well, they shoot well. I want to hear, we couldn't play a lick of defense, rather than, well, you know, their shots just went down. You get what I'm getting at? It's just a whole different sense and tone. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't know. But Coach Gentry here says, look, don't look at that 55-5 bench number as something huge simply because, well, you know, they didn't really play that long. We didn't really use the bench because we had to. But again, he doesn't get it. It's even more of an indictment. Listen to what I just said here, right? The Brooklyn Nets bench, is it that much deeper than the Pels? Because listen to what Coach says.
Well, we didn't. Those in defense of them, they didn't play a lot of minutes. But we just felt like, you know, the guys that we had in there, we had to leave in if we were going to have an opportunity to win.
Okay, so he just said in order to win and beat the Brooklyn Nets and the Brooklyn Nets bench, we needed to play our starters. It's still an indictment. It's still saying that my bench cannot compete with their bench. My starters have to be on the court to compete. And you were down 20. I you get what I'm getting at here? Look, he went on and on. Say, look, they're a good team. I get it. They're 18 and 21. They're a half game out of the playoff spot, so they're getting better. But that's my point. That's a team that has lived in the cellar. That is a team that's been a laughingstock. That is a team that the NBA's forgotten, right? They just love them there in Brooklyn. But that is a team that for years couldn't win. And you know what? Every time the Pels play them, they look like the Golden State Nets. The graph says it all the time. The Golden State Nets. They can't miss a shot. Well, you know what? They can't miss a shot when they're wide bleeping open. Wide open. Did anyone watch the game? You guys get what I'm getting at? 800-998-1003. Did y'all see it? Their three-pointers were wide open. Wide open. Most of them. If not all of them. I mean, it was incredible to watch. Just wide open. Yeah, there were times again. Rebound goes up. Pels players watching. They just kept driving to the lane, laying up the basketball for buckets. Look, again, I'm just playing what coach says, and I'm just asking y'all, what do you do? I don't know, what do you do here? But I think it's a pretty big indictment on this front office and a pretty big indictment on the whole narrative. Because as this game's going on and you're seeing it, and you saw it, right? Second story this morning, 7 a.m., just gave the bottle to my son. I sit down, check out what's going on this morning, and there it is. There it is. The Anthony Davis's frustrated story by ESPN. Because you know what? The two bites I played from AD being frustrated, and then this next one, it went on the Pels website. It went from the Pels media relations. No, they got nothing after the game. No, it was the New York media. The dreaded New York media. AD got a taste of what it'd be like if he actually left New Orleans. Listen to this reporter back and forth with AD about whether or not he's getting tired of playing on a team that's second to last in the Western Conference.
Hey, this team's 14th in the West. 15th conference. At what point do you say to yourself, I don't want to play on a team that's 14th in? I mean, you've done Team USA. You've played on outstanding teams.
Now, is that AD saying next question or the media relations person saying next question? I can't really decipher. But next question was that one. Do you like that question? At what point do you get tired? I chuckle because I've said this very often. Sean Payton and the Saints, yeah, you got it easy. AD's got it easy. I mean, did you hear that guy? He's in the locker room while players are getting dressed, and he flat out goes, at what point are you going to get tired of playing on a team that's 14th in the Western Conference? Nice and loud, so all of his teammates hear it. But that's media in the big market. You know, like when he went through a stretch this season where it kind of looked like he wasn't giving max effort? Yeah, they're radio hosts during the shows. They're sportscast would lead off with, you know, is AD quit? I mean, that's how they started up there. I can't tell if that was AD or a media relations person. It sounded like somebody other than AD saying next question. I don't know. What do you think?
This team's 14th in the West. 15th conference. At what point do you say to yourself, I don't want to play on a team that's 14th in? I mean, your next question. You've done Team USA. You've played on outstanding teams.
Somebody else saying next question. But I hear AD kind of say, I don't. I don't think. But that's where we are now. That's where we are. But my favorite part of that, too, was he goes, you played on the Olympic team. As like he's saying, you play with a team of really good players and you're playing with these guys. I mean, there is nobody that would ask that question like that, right? Hey, at what point do you look around the locker room and go, what am I doing? I mean, that's essentially what the guy's saying. Oh, my goodness. That's where we are. Let me give you a little something more to dwell on. Here's Gentry, his take on the loss.
They started out shooting the ball extremely well. You know, we got behind and, you know, you're playing uphill. Like, we know this story. You know, we've seen this story before. You know, we're playing uphill. It's extremely hard against a team with that talent level that has the ability to score. Once again, you're talking about a perfect storm to get back. And, you know, we almost got there, but we just didn't. But, you know, you got to start the game where, you know, you can't get that kind of separation and think that against a team with that kind of firepower that you're going to be able to get all the way back. But I did think that we competed like crazy, especially the second half. We did a good job of moving the basketball. We made a few adjustments. You know, we scored enough points to win, but got to be able to come up with stops. I thought our on-ball defense was not very good tonight from anyone, really. And, you know, there was too much penetration to the basket and too much driving kicks for threes when we had to pull our defense in, and I think that was our downfall right there.
Yeah. And afterwards, Coach Gentry was also asked, is this a pivotal time for the team? Remember yesterday, we looked at the roster, and we looked at what this team could maybe sort of do. Could they go on a run, right? Got some teams that they thought that we were saying yesterday on the show, hey, maybe, right, off the bench with Sean Kelly, on the court, when you step on there, you should be able to get some wins. And you remember what Sean Kelly, voice of the Pel, said to us yesterday? He goes, you know, I'm scared to say the proverbial should win or could win games because until they prove it, and I said the same thing with him. I'm like, until they can prove that they're consistent and can do it, right? But that should be a win, should have been a win, right? AD saying, you heard him, he's frustrated. This team has more talent than the record shows. Parcells, Payton, they're famous for saying what? You are what your record says you are. No, that's the Pelicans. That's who they are. I mean, again, the head coach said, well, you know, we felt that we needed the guys on the floor to win that game. So, in other words, he said, we couldn't go to our bench. While they did and put up 55 points off of theirs, yours gave you five. I mean, again, I don't know what to say. Is it a pivotal time, Coach?
I think anything is pivotal, you know, right now. I think when you get to the point where, you know, you're almost 40 games in, it becomes pivotal. You know, I think it becomes a situation where you have to, you know, start winning games. And if you're going to stay in the playoff race, you got to find a way to start winning games. And obviously, we've got a lot of games on the road this month, so we're going to have to at least change the way these games are ending and be able to come up with you know, a few plays here offensively, a few plays here defensively, in order to win the game.
Very interesting time right now, I think, in the Pelicans organization. Coming up bottom of the hour, Scott Kushner, his take. He's been for several games saying the Pels are in a bad place. Where are they now after that performance? Because I said it, man, watching that game. And at the end of it, I'm like, this is it. This is the game. Screaming A, your first take, your party interruptions, your, you know, whatever dispute, undisputed. This is the game that they will point to and go, aha. Career high in rebounds. Aha. 36, did all he could, and they lost to the Nets. This is why Anthony Davis needs to leave. I mean, that's the game right there. That's the game right there that fuels and will feed that narrative. That game. We'll talk with Scott about that at the bottom of the hour. At 1:15, Mike Triplett. We'll talk about what he's been putting up here recently as the Saints get ready. Michael Thomas, his greatness, and really... it's interesting. He asked Sean Payton today and Drew Brees yesterday, have there been times this season where, you know what, no matter what, we got to go to 13? I've mentioned it, right? Brees and Payton both kind of made it seem like they don't do that. I disagree. That's your guy. You go to him, right? Brees kind of said, look, I'll do it. But we'll hear what Drew Brees had to say next. We'll talk a little black and gold as they practiced yesterday. We'll practice today before a couple days off and then getting back at it. Wild Card Weekend as well. We'll ask Mike about the two matchups in the NFC, Saturday and Sunday, one game apiece. We'll do that as we're live at Vinny's, 3217 Ridge Lake here in Metairie. You're listening to the Sports Hangover, where it's brought to you by the King Firm, our number one. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING is the way to check them out. KingInjuryFirm.com as well. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
It's a brand new year at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Hurry in for a great deal on a Ram at their Start Something New sales event. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Home IQ from Vision Communications is smarter security and home automation. From your smartphone, tablet, or PC, activate and monitor your security system, lock and unlock your doors, view and record video, control your thermostat and lights, all on one easy-to-use app and website. With Vision's Home IQ, home is where your handheld is. Visit viscom.net/homeIQ to learn more. Louisiana license F1256.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Welcome back, Vinny's 3217 Ridge Lake Drive over in Metairie. What are you chuckling for already? We haven't even said anything. What?
I hate you, Gus.
Sarah joins us to try to convince you why you should have a little lunch here. What the steak special? What comes with the steak special?
It's $12 for an 8-ounce sirloin. Comes with 2-pound baked potato and a side salad.
It's a pretty good deal.
Always.
It's nice. It's delicious. I love the wings here as well. The meatball sliders. What makes them special?
Because they're homemade and they're just the best.
I like the blanket of mozzarella on them as well. What's a pretzel bun, right? That comes on top?
Uh-huh.
Why do you think that makes it any different, regular, just like a good old bun of bread?
Why do you ask me these questions?
I don't know. I'm asking you. I mean, why do you think it tastes better that way?
Because he doesn't like a pretzel bun.
See, there you go. There's an answer to that as well. Hey, on Wednesdays, I haven't been to the trivia night just yet.
We'll try.
I will. But also, you can have a little fun maybe getting the right mindset for trivia night. With a lot of wild turkey.
We do the $10 flights. You get 4 1-ounce pours of different wild turkey for $10.
Wild turkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you go. Why is the happy hour such a cool thing here at Vinny's?
I mean, we do happy hour every day from 3 to 7. We have $4 drafts, $5 appetizers. There's some $4 certain alcohols that you can get too.
And food.
And
the appetizers.
Yeah. We also have late night happy hour Sunday through Tuesday from 10 to close.
You don't know what day of the week is it, do you?
Yeah, I think it's Thursday. Is it Thursday?
Yes, it's Thursday. Yes, okay. We always are here on a Thursday. What's coming up on the weekend?
I think that's the only day that
What's
I do
What's coming
know
up
what
on the weekend?
Wow, Jordan, I see you over there.
Yeah.
Saturday we're doing an 80s night. Ladies get 2 drinks free on us. Mm-hmm. We have a DJ from 10 to 2.
DJ's name?
DJ Nasty.
I just like how it makes Jordan's face turn red when you say
Jordan
that.
Jordan is definitely blood red.
I know, right? I don't understand why he gets embarrassed and shy when you just say the DJ's name.
I think Jordan's got other things going on over there that he doesn't want to talk about.
Yeah, well, that's what
You're
I deal with every,
in there,
every
Jordan?
Day. No, he exactly.
Aww, poor little guy.
Oh. By the way, how many Instagram followers do you have now?
Let's check it out real quick.
What is your Instagram account so people can follow the great Sarah?
It's Miss_Sarah Jane, but with 4 E's on the end of Jane.
Yeah, make sure it's that one, not the other one who, well.
No, that was Twitter.
Okay, right.
I'm up to 883 followers on Instagram.
How many followers do you have there, Jordan, on Instagram?
Probably like 2.
You have 200? Okay.
200. Well, look, I'll give you a shout out there, Jordan.
Wow. A lot of silence today from him. Well, thank you, Sarah. We'll talk later.
Okay, I'll be back.
All right. We'll find out whose birthday it is here as well. You missed the birthday shout-out that you were supposed to give. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime in. Mitchell wants to chime in on the Pels situation, and we'll hear from Sean Pate and Drew Brees here as well as we talk a little black and gold. What you got, Mitchell? Thanks for calling the show, man.
Yes. How can Dale Demp still be allowed to lead this team? To be the GM? What has he done? Look at the bench. No recent discoveries. Gentry as a coach. He's stealing money. And why is the media advocating for his removal?
Mitchell, that's why I'm asking the question. What do you think needs to happen, man? I mean, I just, like I said, do you feel when you see a stat like that, do you feel a stat 55-5 bench being outscored? Do you store it as, hey, it was just that game? Do you store it as, that's why there's a problem? I mean, when you see that, what's the first thing that pops to your head?
That's why it's a problem. Solomon Hill, Tim Frazier, they wouldn't be on anyone else's roster, yet they're on the Pelicans roster, just to name a few. Mm-hmm. Jahlil Okafor didn't even play last night. Why? Why he didn't get in the game?
Look,
we've thought
a lot about that. We'll ask Scott Kushner here next segment why he thinks it as well. When Gentry's been asked in the past as to why Okafor hasn't seen more minutes, and if you remember, was it last week, Jordan, or 2 weeks ago, in which we played the bite into, in which it really sounded like, what was it? He was on the road, and it was Minnesota, wasn't it? I thought it was at Minnesota, and Okafor played well. It was a road game in which he played really well, and dominated,
right?
Played really, really well. And then Gentry was asked after the game, why is Okafor not playing? He goes, well, you know, he's going to have a great career, and it's the right situation. And I looked at Jordan, and I said on the show, I said, you know, it sure as heck sounds as him saying, but this isn't the right situation. And Gentry in the past has said, well, you know, when teams run, he can't, it doesn't fit the flow in the system. Here's my thing. He rebounded, and he shot and scored, and he drove to the basket. What situation does that not work in? You know what I'm getting at? I mean, that's kind of how I feel. I mean, no, I don't want him guarding the three, but you ain't having AD go out there and guard the three. Can he get me rebounds, and can he score down low in the paint? That I'm with you. I don't get it, right? Isn't that part of why a coach is there to try to use that personnel? And if he can't use them, then to your point, it absolutely is an indictment on the general manager, because he's giving you the players for that roster and team. So if he's giving you players that don't help you win or you can't put on the floor, that's a problem.
Exactly, exactly. We should be playing to our strength, not trying to play to the other team's strength. You know, we got size. Why don't we utilize it? We don't. You know, Okafor might have been motivated to play against his former teammates. We don't even know, because he didn't give it an opportunity. It's frustrating.
Look, when you give up 39 points in the first quarter, and what was it, 73 points in the first half, and everyone that's covering the team or fans are tweeting, lack of energy, where's the hustle? And then I look at Cheick Diallo, didn't play, coach's decision. Jahlil Okafor, didn't play, coach's decision. Wesley Johnson, didn't play, coach. You throw everybody out there. I mean, you get what I'm getting at? I mean, I'm comparing apples and oranges. I understand. I did a game over the weekend in Miami, Tulane women's basketball. Okay, second game against a team Tulane should have beat, and they did by like 35, 40 points. But in the first quarter, they were down. Coach calls a timeout, subbed four players in because the energy wasn't there. And guess what? Things turned around and wound up being a 20-point halftime lead. That's my point, though. Cheick Diallo is known for what? That energy going up and down the court.
Exactly.
Jahlil Okafor is the guy that, as you're saying, might have been motivated to play a team that he was on for a little bit. You know what? When you're down 70 points in the first half, and he's telling me at the end of the game, we just got to come out and play with more energy and effort, then why don't you go to guys that maybe that's what they can give you? You know, even if it just gets you jump-started. That's my issue with that. So, I don't know, man. I don't think I'm overreacting, but that can't happen if you want to be a team that's going to keep a franchise player that's top five-ish in the NBA. And that can't happen if you're telling me you're a second-round or better franchise. That just can't happen last night.
Hey, AD played 42 minutes last night. That's ridiculous. You know, that's ridiculous.
Did you see his face at the end of the game?
Yeah, right. He was exhausted. And Jahlil was fresh on the bench.
Well, like I said, it's, you heard him. I played the soundbite of Alvin Gentry saying he felt that the guys on the floor were needed to try to win that game. So he flat out admits that to beat their bench, you needed to play your starters. That's pretty incredible to me. Think about that. To beat the Brooklyn Nets bench, you had to keep your starters on the court. That's a pretty heck of a statement when you think about it.
I wonder if Dale Demps heard, well, he should have heard that also, right? You think?
Well, yeah, you would
he's
think,
responsible
my man.
For the bench.
You would think, my man.
Anyway, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mitchell. Appreciate it. It goes back to the question, too, that I've been saying with ownership, right? I mean, because, look, it's the same people that own the Saints. And, you know, Sean Payton, I think the Shazer for the Saints is doing a piece on how Gail Benson has owned the team in her first full year. Asked Drew Brees yesterday his thoughts, and Sean Payton this morning on his thoughts on Gail. But that's what I've been asking, right? Look, there's a number of ways you can do this. You can have the official, hey, I'm going to, you know, she comes out and says something. There's an official way to release a statement, right? And then you can do the old, there's a reporter you trust or so, and you have, you know, one of the media relations guys say, by the way, Gail's really unhappy. And she thinks that it should be doing better. You know, that's how it works. That's how Screamin' A gets his info. You can do sort of like that. That's all I'm saying. You heard the coach say after the game, it's a pivotal time. Where's ownership on this? Look, and I get it, man. The Saints are making a Super Bowl run. But that's my point. You know, if you're not going to treat them like you would treat the Saints, then you're shortchanging your investment, I guess is what I'm getting at. Randy from the West Bank, what you got, bud?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's going on, bud?
If I'm not wrong, like maybe like a month or so ago, didn't the former commissioner of the NBA come out and basically say that Dale Demps was an idiot, basically?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I remember that. And, I mean, we've been knowing that Dale Demps is an idiot for about, like, what, 5 years now?
Hey, track record's a track record, man.
I mean, I'm just being honest. I mean, he's been stealing money from the Benson for I don't know how long, but it's not his fault. I mean, if somebody's going to let you steal money, I mean, you know, why walk away from it? But I just, when I look at the Pelicans and all everything you say makes sense. So when I was watching a game, like, I think it was 3 or 4 days ago, mm-hmm. and we're playing subpar teams, and you have Anthony Davis, and look, if you're in a spot that you're in, and you only have 5 people listening to you a day, do you want to do your job?
Hey, no, look, man, I hear you. Look, and I think the biggest thing too is I got to hit this break here, man. But Randy, I think the most troubling aspect of all of this is that you can be better. You've shown you can be better. And here we are again. It just seems like the same old tired story of consistency. Why is there no consistency? Why is there no sense of urgency? I mean, this has been the storyline this year. You have road woes. You have trouble starting the game in the first quarter. I would think, myself, I don't need a coach to tell me, right? I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that doesn't happen and turn it around. You get what I'm getting at, Randy? So we can blame Gentry. There's blame there. We can blame Demps. There's blame there. We can blame ownership, which kind of seems like it's missing in action. We can blame there. At the end of the day, though, players got to take personal responsibility. Get your butt out to the corner and throw a hand in the guy's face who's shooting a 3. You know, when a ball goes off the glass, go get the rebound in the first quarter to avoid being down 10 points in the first quarter, to avoid being down 20 points with 8 minutes left in the second. That is up to you as well. You get what I'm getting at?
No, you're right. And let me just tell you real quick, I know you're up against the break. I think this is personally what the Pelicans and ownership and management and all, I think that, honestly, I think that they're tanking for next season to get as many draft picks as they can.
You can't do that.
I honestly think that they're getting rid of Anthony Davis. They know they're getting rid of him because they know that he's going to walk and they're going to get nothing for him. They're not
Randy,
dumb, just like we are.
Thank you so much, man. Appreciate the phone call. 800-998-1003. We'll throw in Scott Kushner into the conversation. We get back. Covers the Pels for The Advocate. Don't go anywhere. We're live at Vinny's. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
At Progressive, we think your handbag business with a reversible top notch is top notch. In fact, there's no other notch at the tippity top your top notch doesn't top. But even at the top, you didn't stop. You copped Progressive Business Insurance. With over 40 years of expertise helping non-stop and top notchers notch spots at the top. Now, break out your stopwatch and hopscotch to ProgressiveCommercial.com. Because this is one opportunity you don't want to botch. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates.
Have you seen the new Mobile Home Supercenter in Houma? Well, let me tell you the good news. The new Supercenter means super savings. Call 985-872-2850 for directions. The number is 985-872-2850 for Houma's Mobile Home Supercenter. Here's a hint. Houma's Clayton Homes. Check them out on Facebook or call 985-872-2850. The new Mobile Home Supercenter. Houma's Clayton Homes.
Oh, hey.
Hey, did you hear? My friend's company was the victim of an email impersonation attack.
It's a serious threat to every business.
What if cyber criminals target us and trick accounting into making a wire transfer?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda.
So we're secured?
Yeah. Barracuda uses artificial intelligence to detect and block spear phishing and account takeover attempts.
What a relief.
Don't become a victim. Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
At Scott D. Kushner is the way to follow him over on Twitter. Covers the Pelicans for The Advocate. Tells it to you how it is. Scott, how you doing this afternoon, man?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I love how you've been telling us for days and weeks the Pels are in a bad place. Where are they now following yesterday when finally we get I'm frustrated quote and soundbite from Anthony Davis?
Yeah, they're in a bad spot. No doubt about it. I mean, just look at the standings. It's pretty easy to see. Even without any context of anything else, when you look and see they are in 14th place in the West. Now, it's a little misleading because they're like four games back of the playoffs, but 14th place, Gus. This is supposed to be a team that's supposed to be showing Anthony Davis a championship vision. They are in 14th place in the West. That's the worst I've ever seen them. It might be the worst they've ever been since the Katrina season. I mean, it's abysmal. And it's mostly abysmal in comparison to the rest of the West because their record isn't, you know, they'd be like, I think they'd be ninth or something in the East.
Right.
But it is a major problem because they play in the West and you have to win games when they're available to you, and they continue to just not show up half the time in the first half. And they fall into these huge deficits, then credit to them for not quitting. But, you know, at some point, it's like someone trying to study for an exam the night before. It's like, it's good enough, you know, occasionally to get you, yeah, you know, a moral victory, but it's not enough to win a game. And that's where they're at. And they're in a really bad spot. And I don't quite know what they can do, but they have real holes on the team. And they're under the impression that when Nikola Mirotic gets back, they'll be a lot better. But how long can you expect an entire roster to stay healthy for? I just think it's unrealistic that you have to have everyone healthy in order to be good.
I saw you make comments on Twitter as I was watching as well, and we're trying to get Nancy Lieberman on either today or tomorrow, who just flat out, I felt like tweeting a gif of, eating popcorn when she was giving the post-game analysis, because I was like, uh-huh, yep. I mean, I just kept nodding my head as, look, I thought it was interesting because I'm asking you, and I'm asking today, and my opening segment was really about this. How much should I make of the 55-5 bench outscoring? And especially when Coach Gentry says, look, I want to, you know, defend them a bit by saying, well, they didn't play much because we felt we needed to play our starters in order to beat their bench players. I mean, that's an indictment, isn't it?
Yeah, they have a terrible bench. I mean, I don't know who could look at their bench and say that it's not a terrible bench. They have bad players on it. I mean, by any objective standard, those guys should all, you know, have smaller roles on a good NBA team. You know, but guys like Darius Miller, guys like Ian Clark, Wesley Johnson, Solomon Hill even. I mean, these are not good players. It's just what it is. They don't have a very good team. They've never really had a deep team, but it is particularly thin now. And the starters are fine. The starters are really good when they're locked in. But it was just as much a starter's fault yesterday. I mean, they played horribly for the first quarter. They didn't show up ready to play. And then, you know, they were able to rally together and kind of make it at least competitive looking in the fourth quarter. But in no way do I think the starters get put off the hook. But this is a bad roster. I mean, it's not a very good team. They have their top heavy, and there are some really good players. I think Elfrid Payton has been a revelation. I think he's been as good as you could have possibly hoped for a guy. Like, that's the best spent $3 million. That the Pelicans have had in quite some time. And he's, you know, even with him, the fact is they're losing to the Nets. And it's like, I don't know what's left to say, you know, other than you just need more quality players. And I don't see an easy path to go get those guys. Because the way that good teams build their bench is mostly through the draft. And this team just hasn't done that. They've got two draft picks that are on the team. Neither of them really do anything or play much.
Right. I think that was something I was saying right before we came to you, Scott, is, you know, when you're having trouble and slow starts, and it's obviously, look, you give up 70 points, that's effort and energy, man. It's not closing out on the threes. It's not, you know, getting the rebounds, and that's not trying to close out drives. If that's the case, why on a night like last night do you not play Shek Diallo, who seems to be the guy that tries to come out and give you energy? Why do you not play Okafor, who seems the last few times you've played him, comes out and at least gives you some effort and tries to play? You get what I'm getting at? Like, why not at all costs just try to use those players? Because we've already gotten some calls of people wondering, why didn't Okafor play? Why didn't Shek Diallo play?
Yeah, I mean, the reason Okafor didn't play is they don't trust him defensively, and that's been the reason he doesn't play when he does, is because, especially against a team like Brooklyn that's shooting tons of threes and moving quickly and that kind of stuff, he's really slow-footed. And they are concerned of having him out on the court, that it will disrupt their own pace, and it will disrupt kind of everything else. That, you know, he's a back-to-the-basket, old-school kind of big. Now, would he have helped last night? I don't think he would have hurt. I don't think those first, you know, whatever, 28 minutes of the game could have gone significantly worse, so I don't think it mattered. But I think, you know, I understand the reason behind not playing him. But it clearly, you know, whatever they did didn't work. But they just need upgrades, and I don't know how they're going to get them. But you can't continue to run a bench out there that gets just blasted. I mean, this is, and it's not uncommon at this point. This happened against Memphis. It happened against Dallas. It happened. I mean, it happened so many times that they get outscored by 30 plus points by the other team's bench, and it's not just because the bench doesn't score. It's because the bench hardly plays, also because they don't trust them at all. And so when you have a roster that is playing basically playoff rotation in January, how do you win? You know, how do you win long term? How is that feasible? How is that a plan? And I think all those questions are being asked right now, and the solutions are just really hard to find because there's really no one on that roster right now who can fix it, and there's really no easy path to trade because there just aren't a ton of really bad teams who are just looking to dump guys to take some salary filler.
All right, well, that kind of answers my question I'm throwing out there to all the listeners is, do you need to just play the patience game or do you make change? And that's what I keep saying. Well, we all know there's a problem. How do you fix it? You know what I mean? It's not like there's a magic button or a magic player that's going to come in and do this.
Yeah, no, it's very real. I don't, you know, it's not easy to make a trade when you don't have many tradable assets available. If they had a lot of tradable assets available, they'd have a better team. So it's one of those, you know, chicken and egg scenarios that you don't know which one you need first. Certainly the idea of them just not drafting has bit them, I think, at this point. I think it's pretty obvious that trying to backfill with, you know, minimum-level veteran guys has been it just hasn't worked the way they've wanted to. And you saw last year they were thin, but I guess it was enough because they had a super thin roster going into the playoffs last year. I mean, they were playing Solomon Hill, who was basically on one leg in the playoffs. And they, you know, were able to do enough because those guys, the starters, were so good. But right now, it's just a huge problem. I mean, the fact they walked into this year without a real backup point guard. I mean, they signed Tim Frazier, who had been cut by Milwaukee. They signed him the day before the season. They signed him the day the season started, I should say.
Right.
So he wasn't even in Houston for the opener. That was their solution to a backup point guard that they didn't have. And then, I mean, I just like how all the stuff is just catching up. And there can be problems pointing to coaching. Certainly, I think the rotation has issues. Certainly, the defensive scheme is not working with Julius Randle in there. I don't think he has, you know, been able to fit what they want to do, and they need to probably change some stuff to help mask that. But it goes everywhere. I mean, it's effort, it's coaching, it's the players. And there's the you can point fingers in so many different directions, and that's what losing does. It forces guys to point fingers, and I think there's a lot of drama and infighting, not necessarily amongst the locker room, but certainly when a franchise is facing what it's facing, you're going to start to feel tension. And there's real tension among that team. So it's not, again, not player to player, but, you know, among those different entities. Stuff gets real fast. This is an incredibly important season, and they've just sort of dogged it so far.
Yeah, not good. Scott, that it's the 3rd of January, and what you just said can't be sitting well with Pels fans when, you know, I mean, it is what it is. And I think there's always something to something, and you and I now know with the way we cover sports with social media, when you see the hashtag together and all this other stuff, and it's Nico and it's AD using the same hashtag, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to see that, yeah, I mean, there is. I mean, and then finally, you know, you see it. Yesterday he's frustrated, and then he got a taste of what big city market media is going to be like when he's being asked, Scott, and we played it earlier. I'll play it for you. I don't know if he had a chance to hear when he was asked about when you're tired of being there. I love this. I'm pretty sure it's a media member, a sports information member that's telling him or that's saying next question, right? Listen, because I'm almost positive.
Hey, team's 14th in the West. Do you say to yourself, I don't want to play on a team that's 14th in? I mean, you're
next question.
You played on Team USA, you played on outstanding teams.
I'm sorry. That's just, I mean, I love that. You played on some amazing teams. You played on the Olympics. I just love the in the locker room while his teammates are getting dressed. At what point do you look and say, I don't want to play on a team that's 14th in the West? I mean, if that's not New York media, I don't know what is, huh?
It's crazy. I mean, last night was like the most obvious example of all of this, right? Which is he goes and gets a career high in rebounds, breaks
right.
the franchise record rebound, and they still got out rebounded.
It got out rebounded.
Like they still got killed on the last. He had a franchise record in rebounds, and they still lost the rebounding battle.
It's not
just
funny.
Like it's so obscenely bad at points that you're just like, I don't even understand. How this team went 20-8 in the second half of the season last year, and you can't just tell me it's Elfrid Payton. You can't just tell me it's Nico Meritage. It's like, it's just not winning at all.
Yeah.
You can't win consecutive games for 6 weeks. They haven't won consecutive games mid-November. They've lost seven games coming off, the last seven coming off of a win. Like, if you can't generate any momentum, and you can't generate any, you know, any sort of boost up into the standings, you have no chance, and you can't just keep languishing along this ground for much longer. I mean, they did this basically last year. They were almost in the same position. I think it was the second week of January when they won that Brooklyn game and they beat the Knicks and like kind of like just they took off with until DeMarcus got hurt. There's a lot of games left, but we have seen no evidence. And I don't give them the benefit of the doubt just because they did it last year. I mean, I don't understand that argument. Like,
it's insane because the players the players in the locker room, like we've done this before. You've done it once.
cool.
And it's not something to be proud of.
I bankrupted a different company, and then I brought it back. It's like, well, that doesn't make you any better. Like, the evidence that we have been presented thus far is bad evidence. We can only work off the evidence that we have. And the evidence that we have is this team is not good and has a serious crisis on its hands. And just because we saw something last year, it was a different team. It was a different time. It was a totally different West. They were not nearly this deep. And they weren't this far behind. They were not in 14th place last year, ever. They were not in 14th place. There are a lot of teams you got to pass. It's not just so many the amount of games. A ton of teams you have to get by. And you don't beat any of them. So it's hard to do.
And there he is, Scott Kushner, making you drink early at 12:50. Now, look, man, I keep telling you, you keep it real. That's why I wanted you on today. As always, man, I appreciate it. Keep up the good work, man. 12:50 is when we reach here. If you want to join Scott Kushner over online, it's Scott D. Kushner, of course, the Advocate. Go check it out and follow his work. Appreciate all you do, man. And Happy New Year to you, buddy.
Same to you, Gustavo. Have a good one.
Very sure. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, we're live at Vinny's. 3217 Ridgelake, 18th in Ridgelake here in Metairie. Come by, have a little lunch. The gentleman's in front of me. I've had the steak special. Let's see if we... you've been nodding and also shaking your head and laughing at a lot of the things we're hearing here as well. Dowan is going to come join us and give us his take next out of the break. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Southern Trailer Works presents the Cancer Center at Thibodeau Regional 8 Seconds to Glory Premier Bowl Tour. Saturday, January 12th, 8 p.m. Home of Terrebonne Civic Center. All kids tickets only $6. Get your tickets now for this Cancer Center of Thibodeau Regional Early Detection Saves Lives event at Ticketmaster.com or box office. Brought to you by Neal Small Engines, Hooters, St. Martin and Pork, and Terrebonne Ford. January 12th, 8 p.m.
The wildest show on Louisiana dirt.
Home of Terrebonne Civic Center.
At AutoZone, we're all about getting you the products you need so you can rely on your ride to perform, especially in the coldest conditions. If you want a battery you can rely on no matter the elements, go with Duralast. They're specially made to help your vehicle power through even the coldest weather. Duralast, proven tough and available only at AutoZone. Visit any of our 5,500 locations nationwide and let us do more for you. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free, no credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic has moved to the new Lady of the Sea Cutoff Clinic, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano. The same After Hours staff will continue to see patients from 5 to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends with no appointment necessary. Now the convenience of a walk-in clinic with a pharmacy at the same location is available for our community. Same provider in a new environment. Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic, here when you need us.
It's time for some straight talk.
I'm ready for it.
You want the best coverage, right?
Of course. Don't want the QB throwing any deep bombs.
I'm talking about coverage on your smartphone, Wingo.
Oh, I get you now. I want the best nationwide coverage then.
Well, you'll get it with Straight Talk. The same great 4G LTE networks as the big guys for up to 30% less.
Man, you got to grab that deal and run with it.
Take it to the house.
With nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, get the Straight Talk $45 unlimited plan with 15 gigs of high-speed data. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Announcing the 2019 LAB Broadcast Scholarship Program. Two $2,000 scholarships are available to Louisiana broadcasting students. Call 1-800-364-7260 or go to www.broadcasters.org to apply. Hurry, the deadline for entry is February 1st, 2019. The Louisiana Association of Broadcasters Scholarship Program. Good for you, good for us, great for Louisiana.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Ronnie Nola, he says he'd love Kenny Smith to be the GM for the Pelicans. Chauncey Billups would also be good on the list as well. Lots of people throwing out ideas as to how to turn things around for the Pels. Dowen, you come on Thursdays and have some lunch here, and you do the steak special, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really good.
So you like it, right?
Yeah, the food here has been excellent. The staff here is great, and, you know, we usually bring a couple people over here and like to listen to the show. And
good, man. I appreciate you doing that. And as well, I see your buddy here that's having lunch with you. He has a Pels hat. So you guys were listening to that conversation here as well. I asked you during one of the breaks, did you watch the game? Your thoughts of what's going on, and especially with what Scott just said there, I mean, this is where we are. And there really isn't no quick or easy solution on how to turn this around or fix it. So your thoughts?
Very clear that the bench is terrible. I mean, I think, like we've talked about before, is that they're being underutilized at times when I think you could probably throw them in there and give a spark here or there, get them out, and maybe change some of the momentum of the game. One of the things that's going to happen, and I think it's inevitable, is that a trade is going to happen. We're going to have to do something with the roster right now to change the makeup. I think the starting five, who we've had in there, minus Nico, has been productive. So obviously some of those pieces can attract other pieces. I hate to say you're mortgaging everything for now, but in a sense you have to, with AD being talked about, rumored every which time you right. hear is he's getting traded, he's leaving, he's not signing. So I think they have to make a move to try to keep him. And, you know, one of the things that was intriguing is I think I saw it on Bleacher Report was the Rodney Hood and trying to think who else they were looking. Kevin Love.
Right.
Possibility of bringing those guys in. Now, you'd have to give away some significant assets right now, but I think those guys could maximize your roster to give you that push that you need.
I want to ask you that because that's been the Dell Demps philosophy really since he got here is to try to get young veterans and to give away or trade for those young veterans or other players future draft picks. You heard Scott say just now, he believes mortgaging all those draft picks has come back to bite them because you can't build your bench and have all that. So to your point, because I almost, that's why I'm asking, do you just have the patience thing here? Because I know there's a lot of fans that say you can't keep giving away draft picks. The problem is you don't have assets or money to do anything else. It's the only bargaining chip that you have. So to your point, you're saying you gotta almost have to keep doing it, or do you just say, look, enough's enough, we can't do it?
Well, no, you're stuck in a situation right now. You have to cater to Anthony Davis is running your organization right now. You have to go to him and you say, who do you want, who can we get? You need to sit him down and say, look, we're not planning on trading you, we're keeping you through your contract, and you seem to be a guy that wants to win, so what can we do to help you? If it's the guys that are in your locker room right now, well, then things have to change. Either Anthony's got to step up and be a leader, because I don't see that from Anthony. You know, last year Rondo came in, he was the leader. He was the alpha dog. Even when Boogie was here, Boogie was the alpha dog. If anything, it thrusted Anthony into a spot of having to be the guy when the playoffs happened because that was a void. And I think Rondo was kind of pushing him in that direction. Right now, this team is void leadership. And obviously from the Alvin Gentry side, there is no leadership there. I've not been impressed with him or Demps. And I think it's inevitable when you look at the roster and you look at, let's just last night's game and see that he's talking about the Brooklyn Nets as though they're the Warriors. He's saying we can't compete with the Brooklyn Nets, whose bench was out there, as though they are the guys that are like the Warriors.
Well, that's why I said it. To me, it's an indictment when you said I had to keep my starters on the floor to combat their bench. I mean, that's incredible to me.
I think, you know, everybody keeps, you know, speculating. And I think that creates issues in your locker room. I think last night they go to New York and are distracted, but that goes back to leadership. And either they're going to have to sit Anthony Davis down, because there are times he looks disinterested, and they've talked about that ad nauseum.
Right.
Last night he goes and gets a career high of 35 and 20-something, but he gets it basically against a team that he should be able to go get that at any night. And I think he's a top-five player in the world. He has to demand more respect, and I don't think it's happening unless he actually asks for it.
Dowen, thanks for the thoughts, and thanks for coming by for a little lunch. I appreciate it so much. Sports Hangover continues with hour number two next on ESPN New Orleans.